The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition. More good racing to come as well. It's day three of Glorious Goodwood. There's also Nottingham and Stratford in the afternoon, Epsom and Fosslass in the evening, and there's also day four of the Galway Festival as well. Plenty of good racing to look forward to. Stuart Beasley, Chris Pimlott and Darren Owen will be in the studio from 1:40 p.m. My name is Mark Walton, and on this podcast I'm joined in the studio by Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Very good, Mark. Thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And I must start this podcast, if I may,
yes,
by saying happy anniversary, Stephen Powell. 5 years at William Hill Towers today.
I know, yeah. It's well, when I sit here and think about it, I think, God, that's gone really quick. It only literally seems like 5 minutes ago since our colleague Ross Briley rang me up when I was stood in a William Hill betting shop, funnily enough, asking me if I wanted to come in for a day. And but then I think of all the things that have happened in between, Mark.
Yes.
And there's a lot of stuff gone down in that time. So, yeah, it's been enjoyable. Here's to another 5 years, hopefully.
Favourite William Hill moment?
Oh, there are so many, some which I can't repeat, that I think that might be just subject for a podcast on itself.
Oh, right.
To be honest. So, the usual characters, the likes of Chris Pimlott, John Budden probably be involved. A bit of the wizard thrown in somewhere. And then things that probably shouldn't be repeated every day. So.
Fair enough. I was just talking to Ben about this before we started recording, our gaffer Ben Bramley.
Yes.
And he was saying, bring up some of your favourite moments. And I was saying, oh, there won't be time, there won't be time. And then I said, unless he wants to talk about the Scottish National Call with Merrigo.
Yes. Yeah, Merrigo winning the Scottish National.
Yeah.
So I think that was your personal...
That's my favourite. Yeah. That's my Stephen Powell highlight.
Yeah, so, yeah, I got very excited there. Whether I got as excited there as I did when Zenyatta just got beat in the Breeders' Cup Classic is a different question. So
I was gutted that day.
Yes, well, I was as well. And, you know, our former colleague Martha Kellner, now of the Mail on Sunday, of course,
yeah.
And sister of David, was beside herself. She thought it was that exciting at about 10 past 12 on this Saturday night in November. So, yeah, those two, in terms of commentary, yeah, I probably enjoyed those the most and the least at the same time.
Well, good stuff. Here's to another 5 years, Steve.
Fingers crossed, Mark, yes.
I suppose we should talk about some of the racing that's coming
up. In theory, yeah.
Day three of Glorious Goodwood is upon us. Before we do so, let's just quickly reflect on day one, because we kicked off with the Lennox Stakes being the highlight, and Garswood getting back to winning ways. He was the 9-4 favourite, confirmed favouritism, and something like his free handicap win as well. You know, back to form with a bang even.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he pressed a lot of people at Newmarket when he won the free handicap, and he didn't, I think probably in the Guineas he may not just have been good enough, to be honest. And at Ascot I was a shade disappointed with him, so I'm glad he's got back to winning ways. I just hope personally, if he was mine, he wouldn't, they're going to be tempted to try him over a mile again. But whilst he's optimum seven, I wouldn't change it. I mean, if he was mine from here, he'd be going to the Park Stakes at Doncaster, which is over seven, Group 2. And then he'd go to the Foray on Arkdale at Longchamp, which is seven, Group 1. And the only seven furlong Group 1 in Europe. So, you know, if you're very good at that distance, there is Group 1. And maybe then try a mile next year. But yeah, I was pleased to see that. And I think he was quite a good first day. I mean, old Harry's Tweed winning was a tremendous highlight for me. So he's absolutely bolted up. And
tipped up by our very own Tom Queeley as well.
Yeah, he was in good form. On day one, Tom. So I'm hoping that that'll continue for the listeners out there, because I do know one or two people who back some of his selections as well. I wasn't one of them, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, and Richard Hannan had a flying start to the meeting as well. No surprise there.
I mean, Richard Hannan and Richard Hughes win the first race in a 16-1 shot. Mm. When you say it afterwards, you think, what the hell has happened there? Yeah. It's like when Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh won the bumper with a 25-1 shot at Cheltenham. You just think, what the hell has gone on here? Start off well. And the horse who was second in the Malcolm anticipated, he's not a horse that I like. Although he ran quite well yesterday, he ran over 5.5 in France two starts ago now, and just I mean, I'd move to 5.5 mile. I'd stretched him if he didn't travel very well, but he ran really flat. And then he ran a Goodwood as though he needed 5.5. And I'm just, he's just a horse.
He missed the break though, didn't he?
He did a bit, yeah, but he was outpaced a bit. But yeah. I don't know, I just can't take to him. So I was quite pleased that Brown Sugar won.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember his dam winning the Super Sprint at 100-1 back in 2005, Mark.
Yeah.
So yeah, not badly bred himself, Brown Sugar. And like the Rolling Stones.
Fair enough.
But that's irrelevant.
Yes. Fair enough. Let's look ahead to the next instalment then, shall we?
Yeah, hopefully this time tomorrow we'll be talking how wonderful Dawn approaches and that he's, laid all over Toronado.
Yes, of course. Duel on the Downs, rather. Mark 2 takes place just after we record this. The feature races on Thursday are the Richmond Stakes, the Black Rock Filly Stakes, which is registered as the Lily Langtree, and the highlight is the Goodwood Cup, which is a Group 2 contest, and it's part of the British Champions Series. So we're going to look at those three races, and in chronological order, the first one is the 2:45, which is the Richmond Stakes, Group 2 contest over 6 furlongs. I have some early betting here as well. The betting is on site if you want to have a bet at this point. Figure of speech is the 7-4 favourite, Parbold 4-1, Saya 7s, Jalotta 8s, Miracle of Medina and Thunderstruck Striker both 10s. It's 11-1 for Ben Hall and 16-1 or bigger prices. The rest, I don't think Parbold will take place if he ran on Wednesday.
No, he's down for the Vintage Stakes on Wednesday, and I actually think he'll win the Vintage Stakes. Right. I did a preview for the William Hill TV on Tuesday, selecting him for the Vintage Stakes on Wednesday. So part of me hopes he doesn't run, to be honest, on Thursday in the Richmond Stakes. And the other part of me is because I fancy Figure of Speech, which I know is not very original, but I was at Newmarket when he made his debut and I was really impressed with him. And he was then put straight into the July Stakes, Group 2, second, and he was only beaten a neck by Anjal, literally just caught in the last sort of 100 yards, shaping as though that stiff 6 at Newmarket probably just tested him at a better level, more so than obviously in maiden company, and the slightly easier 6 I think will probably suit, and that's very good form. I mean, of the opposition, Parbold would be very strong if he turns up, and I would be very, very worried about him. I quite like Sayer before he ran at Royal Ascot when he finished 8th behind No Nay Never, but he took a pretty keen hold over 5 there, and I'd be concerned if he did that over 6, obviously, at Goodwood, because he's got an extra 220 yards to cover. And Thunder Strike, I was quite impressed with him when he won at Epsom, when he won the Woodcote Stakes on Derby Day, but he ran okay in the Coventry at Royal Ascot when he was 4th. But he was a little bit disappointing last time behind Miracle of Medina. He was last beaten 8 lengths, and it was only 13 days ago. So I'm wary of going all in back on him again. And of the others, there's not a great deal to hang my hat on, to be honest. I mean, and he's on the run, won a 4-runner novice race, which had one or two nice horses in, but the form nowhere near good enough for this.
I suppose if you like Figure of Speech, Jalotta must come into it somewhere.
Yeah,
wasn't too far behind.
No, but it's just he's exposed, and I think the season goes on, he's going to get progressively further back in these races.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I mean, he's 4th at the Curra, was okay, but it wasn't anything better than what he showed at and possibly might have been slightly worse than he showed at Newmarket in theory.
Was, yeah.
So, and I think he's going to go further and further back, although technically he's the highest rated horse in the race, but that's only because he's had so many runs. Maybe Ben Hall I'll go with as one with a lively chance at a bit of a price for John Goldstone and William Buick. He didn't shape too badly at Royal Ascot last time in the Windsor Castle, shaping as though he'd won an extra furlong, which he gets. So he's the long shot, but Figure of Speech, I think, will win. I think he's the best horse in the race at this moment in time.
Okay. The feature race on Thursday is the 3:15. This is the Goodwood Cup. It's part of the British Champion Series, a Group 2 contest over 2 miles, so some good stayers in action here. Mount Athos is the market leader on the early betting that we've got. He's 7-2. Brown Panther 11-2. Colour Vision 6s. Caucus 13-2. Altano is 8s. Aziz Sadler's Rock. Cavalryman 10s. 14s for Arzima and 20-1 or bigger the rest. What do you like for this, Stephen?
Well, I mean, I like the Goodwood Cup. It's one of my favourite races of the year, as are most of the staying races, actually. It's of the British Champions Series, it's probably my favourite category, we'll say. And this is a tremendous renewal, that good and competitive, that it's going to be hard to pick the winner. I mean, we'll go First of all, with Sadler's Rock, who was quite well fancied at Ascot in the Gold Cup, had his perfect conditions, but was a little bit disappointing, I thought, finishing down the field in eighth place. He won this race 12 months ago when the going was a little bit quicker, and his best form tends to be when the ground's quicker. On Wednesday, they're expecting it to be dry during the afternoon, and then it's going to be a scorcher on Thursday, so it would need to dry out significantly. But I think there might be a case that if it's wet on top because it rained, that it might go a bit sort of tacky and a bit gluey, which will be even worse. And that puts me off Sadler's Rock, and it also then puts me off Colour Vision, who's a horse who I really, really like. I mean, I've liked him since his three-year-old days. And he ran well in this race last year off the back of winning the Goodwood Cup. After winning the Gold Cup, sorry. But again, his form on with cutting the ground is pretty poor, to be honest, and that doesn't really enamour me all that much. Brown Panther is a horse who I don't think he's good enough at this level. He'll always fall short above Group 3 company unless it's a very weak Group 2. Caucus has always fell short when he's gone into Group company as well, despite a listed win at Sandown last time. We'll mention the favourite, obviously, likely favourite, Mount Athos, for Jamie Spencer and Luca Cumani. Very impressive over 14 furlongs at York first time out. Fifth in the Hardwick last time, dropped back to 12. And owner Marwan Kukash came out after that race and said he wasn't very happy with the ride that Jamie Spencer gave him for holding him up over 12 furlongs when he's got the requisite stamina as it is, basically, and not making use of that. So going back up to 2 miles, I think he might obviously go well. And I think the German horse, Eltana, will go quite well either. He was fifth in the Gold Cup behind Estimate.
Left it far too late as well, the jockey.
Yeah, he came from a mile back. He's on a game, which worries me. And Goodwood is the sort of track that, if you've not ridden there, which I don't think he will have done, again. So, after going through all that, I come to horse number one, Arzimar, who is trained by Saeed Mansour. He's got quite a good record in this race. One of three runners for Saeed. Colour Vision, we mentioned. Cavalryman, who again, I think, always seems to fall a bit short at this level, although he was quite impressive in Dubai when he won the Dubai Gold Cup. Azimar, very consistent, still only a four-year-old and relatively unexposed in this sort of staying race. He kept on well behind Universal in a race that wouldn't have suited him because he hasn't really got any tactical speed for 12 furlongs, yeah. So Universal from the front dictating it would not have suited him. But Kieran Fallon, who rides Goodwood very, very well, and because I'm sort of in a bit of a quandary about the market leaders and the ground and that sort of thing, I think he's quite solid at a decent enough price to maybe hit the frame. Azimar, make it into the first three and probably back each way because there are question marks over so many of the others.
Okay.
It's not very exciting, unfortunately, but I mean, if the ground dried up significantly to good or better, then I would be with Colour Vision. But if there's any mention of the word soft in it, it puts me off.
Yeah, just keep an eye on the going and any going changes, because if this sun is as hot as they're saying it's going to be, well, it's going to crack the pavement, so it might dry out the ground as well. The 3:45 at Goodwood is the next one we're going to look at. It's the Black Rock Filly Stakes, registered as the Lily Langtree Stakes. It's a Group 3 contest over a mile and six furlongs. Wild Coco is a bit of a shorty at the top of the betting as we record this. 5-4 market leader. Elik is 5-2. Souvien Toir is 11-2. Jayan Dark is 8-1, rather. Jatabar is 12-1. And then 20-1 or bigger prices. The remainder, Wild Coco. Well, she's a high-class filly on her day, Stephen. She was due to make a reappearance, wasn't she, a couple of weeks ago, but the ground was not right for her. So.
Yeah, that was at Newmarket in the Princess of Wales Stakes, because, again, it was red-hot and dry.
Red-hot.
Red-hot. It was very warm and dried out very quickly. But this bit of cutting the ground now, going back to the previous race, part of me doesn't want it to dry out that much because I think that she'll absolutely bolt up.
If it can be red hot until the...
And then have a massive downpour after the Goodwood Cup. Because, again, she's got the best form in the race. The trip's fine for her. She won the race last year. To be honest, even if it dried out to good with good firm places, I think it'd be all right with her. But she's better with a little bit of cut. And the others won't really be able to get near her.
Simple as that.
I think so. I mean, Elik was third in the Ribblesdale, weakened late on, which didn't really suggest that she'd want to go up two furlongs unless it was more a case of getting outpaced by the leaders. But the form wasn't massively boosted, I don't think, by the Irish Oaks in the ones that have came out. Jehan Dark, Miss Capestal, Alta Lalea, and Susie's a class act. None of them, in theory, should get within 10 lengths of Wild Coco, even on their best form. Souvientoire was second behind Brown Panther in the Pontefract Castle Stakes.
Yep.
So that form might receive a bit of a boost, but I don't think it will personally, so it doesn't really draw me into her. And we're left with Jathabar down at the bottom, who ran really well, steps up to a mile and five, pushing Feel Like Dancing all the way. And Clive Britton occasionally gets one pop up at a decent price, and so I'd probably take her to chase home Wild Coco. But Wild Coco, who's won first time out more than once, everything's perfect for her almost. And as I say, on their best form, none of them should get within at least five lengths, maybe even more of her.
Okay. Wild Coco to retain her crown. And thank you very much, Stephen. Could just have a quick summary before you go?
Yeah, quick summary. In the Richmond Stakes, Figure of Speech, I thought he ran really well on just his second start in the July Stakes at Newmarket. In the Goodwood Cup, it's all down on ground and what horses are going to handle the conditions and how much it dries out. And because there's so many questions over them, I'm going to just stick with Azimar to run well at an each-way price, because he's very consistent and he's relatively unexposed in this sort of race. And then the 3:45, Wild Coco, best horse in the race by a fair way for me, and none of the others should get close to her.
Superb stuff. Thank you very much, Stephen. Enjoy on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark.
So those are the selections of Stephen Powell then for Thursday's racing at Glorious Goodwood. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. We also have Nottingham, Stratford, Epsom, Fosslass and Day 4 of the Galway Festival. Stuart Beasley, Chris Pimlott and Darren Owen will be in the studio, and 1:40 p.m. is the start time on Thursday. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.